Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Stand up on your feet, would you please? Let's go ahead and read from Jude first. Verse 11, there's only one chapter, Jude 11. Are you ready? Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, run greedily by the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Let's just pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. This text talks about these people, they're men who've crept into the church. Jude's warning them and say, there's creepers. Everybody say, there's creepers. There's people that have crept into the church, and they are those who have Balaam's error. Now, Balaam was hired by Balak to curse Israel. And he couldn't do it. Why? Because you can't bless what God's cursed. Say that. You can't bless what God has cursed. But why did he curse Israel? And he taught Israel, he taught Balak how to mess Israel up, get them out from that covering of God. And he's considered a wicked man because he did all of that for profit. So this is talking about here in Jude, only one chapter, verse Jude 11. It's talking about people who have crept into the church and they're teaching things that are not right, and they're doing it for money. There's false prophets. There's false teachers. He goes on to talk about the way of Cain. They've gone the way of Cain. Hebrews 12, are you there? Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, a root of bitterness spring up to cause trouble, and by this defile many. Now, Korah is about rebellion to authority. So he's saying there's creepers have come in the church and they're false teachers. Listen really closely to me. A false teacher does not necessarily have horns and is walking like the devil himself. He doesn't come with a pitchfork, a false teacher. These are attitudes and motives. They might even be teaching the right thing, but their motivation of their heart is wrong. Prophet. The other one is a rebellion to authority. The third one is the way of Cain. Well, what is the way of Cain? I'm going to preach a message entitled Canceling Cain's Way. And we do have notes for you. Canceling Cain's Way. Let me see your notes. All right. You fill these in as we move along. Canceling Cain's Way. There is the way of Cain. And you want to avoid it. Genesis chapter 4, are you ready for this? Genesis 4. We'll read these verses through. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord, verse 2. And she bore again, and this time Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord, say this with me, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. Everybody say Cain was angry. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must or should rule over it or master it. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel. He should have been talking to God, but he talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask your power to be manifested in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 12 talks about a root of bitterness. And then Jude 11 talks about this way of Cain. The way of Cain leads to living with a root of bitterness. The way of Cain leads to living with a root of bitterness. So what's so bad about that? A root of bitterness, when it grows full-blown, will develop into what I would call a spirit of murder. And all across America, I mean, it's interesting that this text says that they've come in, they creep in, and like Balaam for prophet. You know, Balaam was hired to curse Israel. You know, there are people that are out there that just want to curse. You just want to curse other people. How many of you know somebody? Raise your hand if you know somebody filled with anger and bitterness. Yeah, it's a disease, and it'll destroy you. The way of Cain leads us to living with a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness will destroy you. There's a road in Maui called Olinda Road. And Olinda Road goes up to about 3,000 feet on that beautiful Hawaiian island of Maui. And I think it's about the last 4 miles, the county maintenance of the road ends. And when the county, we know about that, when the borough maintained roads, it's fantastic. They're plowed, you know, there's potholes are taken care of. If you live on a road that isn't taken care of, then you better have to take care of it because it gets beat up. Olinda Road, where they quit the maintenance of that, it has all of these roots from these huge rainbow eucalyptus trees that go underneath the road. And literally, not only does the road turn like this, going all the way up to 3,000 plus feet, but it has all of these roots underneath. Pastor Michael, one of our pastors in Dallas, rented a beautiful Mercedes. And he found out what it's like to not see the roots in the road. So you not only have to go through these turns that are blind, but you have to go around these roots, because if you don't, it's going to rip off the under part of your car. And I've done that. That's the way bitterness is. It can work under the ground and it can begin to spring up and rip out your undercarriage. Come on, your undercarriage being ripped out, that don't even sound good. Right in your notes, Cain sought to worship the Lord on his terms. He sought to worship the Lord on his terms. Now, think about this. What are his terms? We can understand that when Adam and Eve sinned, their nakedness was covered by who? By God. He covered them with what? With tunics of skin. An animal skin. I would venture to say it's most likely a lamb because it's consistent following through the Old Testament sacrificial system all the way to the New, culminating in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They tried to use fig leaves. That's a picture of religion. You can try to hide your sin through religion, but it doesn't work and it doesn't stand before God. And so the Lord sacrificed an animal, covered them, their nakedness, with skin. This next generation now, they're worshiping God. That's the picture. They're coming to the Lord and they're worshiping him, but Cain wants to worship in his own way. He has his own way of worshiping, and it's not accepted. Why? Because there is a way, there's a truth, there's a life. In the end, listen to me, harlot Babylon, one world religion will say this: you can worship God any way you want to. There's no real prescribed way. All roads lead to heaven. How many of you know that's a bunch of hogwash? That's not true. All roads don't lead to heaven, and you can't worship God however you want to. And so what does Abel do? Abel, and we can assume that he learned this from his parents, Cain and Abel. Abel brings an animal, sacrifices an animal, and it is clearly declaring, which we see in Leviticus, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It's a picture that God's a meat eater. You didn't catch that? God likes meat, not vegetables. All right, it's kind of a joke. I've lost you. Some of you will never remember anything else I say the rest of the service. It's blood that atones for sin. That's it. Without that, And Jesus is a fulfillment of all of that. So Cain sought to worship the Lord on his own terms instead of on God's terms. And we can read between the verses and understand that God's terms are expressed somehow, most likely through Adam and Eve as they taught their parents. You be sure to teach your kids. You be sure to get your kids in youth camp so that they can learn not to be a Cain. All right. Cain's response to God and Abel is seen. How is it seen? He's angry. So how come Abel gets all the blessings? How come you don't like my fruit basket? He's angry. And so God says to him, what are you angry about? I mean, the God confronts him. He's angry. He's filled with self-pity. And he's bitter. So what does that have to do with America? I see it everywhere, from Washington, D.C., all the way up to Alaska. There are people filled with bitterness, people filled with anger, and it really is connected to murder. So what are you saying? I'm saying that you need to get rid of your bitterness. We need to cancel Cain's way. We need to cancel the way of Cain. You need to deal with your bitterness, deal with your anger. Bitterness is found in the belief that you're not getting what you deserve. Oh my gosh. You're not getting the right amount of pay. You're not getting the right amount of honor. You're not getting, I want what I deserve. Pastor Josh, you're going to laugh at this next story, which I'm sure you heard, but it's one of the times that God, I just said one of them, one of the times that God dealt with me about bitterness. And I was helping in the youth. And Dr. Michael Gannon was sent off to Lanai to take over our extension there. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, I forget exactly, I was put in place to do the preaching in the midweek. And I just felt like I had gotten raptured. I can't tell you the joy that filled my heart. Finally, I'm doing what God's called me to do. Not that I wasn't doing it before that, but it was just incredible joy to preach to these kids and feel the power of God and prophesy. And it was just living a dream. I was a painter doing that for income. And then I was serving at the church and able to preach for those couple of weeks. And I thought for sure, Dr. Morocco is going to make me the new next youth pastor. I mean, I was a logical choice in my mind. I'm just thinking for sure, I'm the man. And then you know what happened? I was in service on a Sunday morning, and Dr. Morocco, there I am worshiping God. I love you, Lord, and I live my, hey. And then I hear the message from Dr. Morocco. He's got great news for our youth department. I'm like, wow, he didn't even tell me yet. He's going to tell everybody at the same time. We have a new pastor that's moving here. And I thought, I'm already here, so it must not be me. Pastor Steve Franks is moving back, and I felt like I'd got snipered. I thought, oh. And then I was like, oh, praise God. Praise God for Pastor Steve. And then I'm instantly struggling to try to say, like, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? I mean, like, and I got bitter. And I got angry, and I wrestled with thoughts like, Dr. Morocco doesn't really even know me. I was the one. I was his chosen vessel. I was the chosen vessel that was going to bring revival. And I had kids. It's amazing how many people just jump on board. I had youth be like, you're going to be our new youth pastor, right? You're dope, dude. You're on fire, bro. Oh, girl, come on, bro. We're just going to have revival. I'm like, that's right. Lift your hand. Yeah, and then Pastor Steve's chosen. And I get put, my next assignment goes from preaching fire with the shaka naka lahamaha to being the guy that's taking attendance at a little small desk that didn't even fit me with a little list and a little broken pencil sitting there. Johnny, Susan. And it was like, I lost my joy. I would weep at night. I would weep. I'm like, Lord, you've got to talk to Dr. Morocco. Oh, God, he just doesn't know, Lord. And I, all of a sudden, bitterness flooded my heart. And I thought, why aren't you acknowledging me as the man of God? I lost my joy. I lost my fire. I stopped witnessing. And I started declaring and making accusation. I had enough scripture and a mother that prayed that kept me from getting offended fully, because the Lord spoke to me and said this: oh, so you deserve to be the next youth pastor? I'm like, yes? You think you're getting what you don't deserve? I'm like, well, seems to make sense to me. So you're saying that Dr. Morocco's wrong? I'm like, Lord, you know. And he spoke this to me, and I don't know how he talks to you, but God talks to me this way. He says, do you want what you really deserve? And I thought, no, I don't want what I really deserve. He says, son, you deserve death. You deserve death. So rejoice that you've been redeemed. Rejoice in mercy and the grace and the kindness. And I thought, oh God, I just changed my channel. Do you know, a year plus later, I realized that if I had, first of all, thank God he delivered me. People are called to youth ministry. I'm very grateful for that. He did not call me to be a youth pastor. Thank you, Jesus. I love our youth, and I love all the people that lead them, and I'm glad it's not me. About a year later or so, I realized, you know something? I was, this cookie was not fully baked. And I had things on the inside of me that might very well have destroyed me. And thank God for a pastor that saw and heard from God. But in that meanwhile, I had those rainbow eucalyptus roots growing. And that's what happened to Cain. Bitterness is founded in the belief that you're not getting what you deserve. So let me fix it for you and get a word from the Lord right now. What actually do you deserve? Death. Everybody just lift your hands and say, thank you, the Lord, he redeemed me. Come on, somebody say, thank you. Thank you that he snatched you like a stick from the fire. Thank you that he redeemed you. Thank you that he took out the heart of stone and put it in the heart of flesh. Thank him. Thank you. Come on. Come on. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't know what's best for you. Father knows best. Used to be a good show like in the 50s, 60s. He still knows best. But if you have that spirit of Korah, you'll say he doesn't. You'll say your leaders don't. You have a disease in you, rebellion. And Cain had a bitterness that worked in him that brought anger and trouble, causes trouble, emotional trouble. They've tied bitterness to cancer. Wow. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. God wanted to help Cain. So he comes and he visits him. And he says this to him. This is God's preemptive. This is before the murder. He's coming to you today. He's coming to America today. And he's asking questions. It's good to ask questions. Why are you angry? Why are you bitter? Ask that question of the Lord. If you're feeling angry, you're feeling bitter, ask why. What is the root of that? I mean, I've seen people that are just offended. I mean, when they came out their mama's womb, they were offended. They're offended at the doctor that slapped them on the backside. They're offended at everything that happens. You got to get healed of offense. You got to get healed of your bitterness. You got to get healed. And he asked them two questions. One, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? So God asks us those same questions today. He asks America that question. What are you angry about? People all over America are angry. I was at the Alaska Airlines luggage desk, you know, at baggage claim. And I was there and I, you know, my son was left at a gate in Honolulu, had to spend the night in Honolulu, missed his flight. The only thing is, one thing if you missed your flight, you know, weather, whatever. If you missed your flight because they left early, that's pretty irritating. How many of you have ever been in that situation? So they left like 7 minutes early. So I asked the lady, is there any recourse, you know, that can be done? She said, well, you can call, you can do that. Well, the guy next to me is like, yeah, I was there. I'm like, whoa, it's my message happening right now. Hi, is your name Cain? I'm just curious. I was there. I mean, he was upset. He said, they almost kicked me out of the— I think his voice started changing. Kicked me out of the airport. I was so upset. And he was upset. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? And then he gives him wisdom. Why is your countenance fallen? Then he gives him wisdom. If you do well, will you not be accepted? I had my children memorize this when they were kids. I think you should memorize it. I think your kids should memorize it. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Meaning, blessing comes to those who live right. Blessing comes to those who serve him. Blessing comes to the redeemed. To those who walk in the principles and the precepts of God's truth, you're going to experience blessing. Come on, raise your hand and say, I want all of that. Yeah. And then it says, if you don't, sin lies at the door. Now, this reminds me of the New Testament passage that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So get this, understand this. If I live right, I'm under covering, I'm under blessing, and it certainly is Old Testament, but it applies to the New. Sin is outside the door. It's like a wild beast. So when I don't live right for God, when I do things my own way, when I live according to my rules and not the Lord's, and I give a fruit basket instead of a blood sacrifice, do you understand? Raise your hand if you understand. Then what happens is literally it creates a doorway. It creates a portal. It creates a way for the enemy to find entrance into my life. Does that happen every time? I think God's merciful and kind, and he comes and he speaks to you through a bald-headed preacher to say, you better get rid of that bitterness, and you better get rid of that thing that you're demanding your way, demanding it, because it's going to lead you to murder, because it's where it goes. It's the enemy puts this demonic energy on it. So if you can imagine outside this exit door right here, you can imagine just on the other side of that door, a wild beast. Now, who in their right mind would open up? Let's say it's a big 9-foot grizzly who's really hungry and mad. Would you open the door? Now, some of you be like, you know, that's right. And I'd shoot it with my revolver. This right back here. No. You wouldn't open that in your right mind. But really, people that have bitterness and people that have anger problems and people that are offended are not in their right mind. They've been deeply affected by injustice. Their perception, I perceived things years ago as an absolute and would have bet my life on it without giving details. And yet, a few years later, discovered I'm completely incorrect. Thank God I didn't bet my life on what my perception was. Perceptions can be off. They could lead you astray. If you don't do what's right, you accept it. Do what's right, favor. Do what's right, blessing. Do what's wrong, you're going to get munched. You're going to get destroyed. And you'll open a door. Sin's desire is for you. Sin wants to pull you in, wants to take you out. What does it go on to say from there? You must master it. You're responsible to rule over it. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, I am responsible. Yes, you are. You got to get rid of a victim mentality. If you're going to walk in all the blessings of God, if we're going to see America turn around, this spirit must be dealt with. We must deal with this hatred and this bitterness and this anger and this I deserve more and this whole concept that is promoted all over. You've got to be responsible for your own life. And Cain talked with Abel instead of God. Listen, if you're really angry with somebody, wait. Talk with God about it before you just go talk to them with a tire iron in your hands. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, you should renew your mind first. Really get healed. Resolve it with God. And I'm all about confronting people. We should definitely confront people in love. But he talked with Abel without heeding the advice that God gave him. And I'm sure that Cain didn't understand the consequences. And the consequences are brutal for Cain. And the consequences are brutal for you, for me if we allow Cain, the way of Cain, to be in our life. That is not who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be loving and kind and compassionate and merciful and long-suffering. That's who we're supposed to be. That's seething with anger. Where's Abel? See, there's consequences for you being bitter and you being angry. So what are the consequences? Well, how's your bitterness and your anger worked in other people? I shared Wednesday, but I'm going to share it again. I struggled with anger early on in my walk with the Lord. And I allowed for a root system of bitterness to be in operation. Now, I wasn't fully bitter, but there was a residue of bitterness. And if it was hit right, if I was triggered just right, it would come up. And that affected my children. Some of you have heard the story. I've since repented. But you know what was sad about that? Was the fact that that bitterness and that anger got in my kids to some degree. Oh, it's a very sobering thing as a parent to see the things passed on to your children that you really didn't want to pass on. Thank God for things that are good that you're passing on. But I saw that. I'm going to ask you, where is Abel? Your bitterness, your anger, the way that you're behaving, perhaps. Now, if this doesn't fit, just file it and apply it later on when you're offended. Where is Abel? The consequences of your relationships and other people, it matters. He says, am I my brother's keeper? Does anybody know what the answer to that is? Yes, you are. We're supposed to bear one another's burden. What have you done? What have you done? What are the consequences of living this way? The consequences are basically you're cursed. What happens to Cain is he has a mark put on his head. I mean, there's a lot to this. I'm just sort of skimming the surface. He's no longer has fellowship with Abel, because of course he's dead. He has no longer, if we don't hear about Adam and Eve, there's no more family reunions. He's sent out as a vagabond. I have known people that are so bitter and they're so angry. I don't really like spending time with bitter and angry people. Do you? No. And neither does anybody else. And you know what happens? They have no friends. They have no people that are close to them unless all their other, you know, they can get their own little bitterlings around them and they can all be bitter together. Misery loves company. They have no more close relationships, no more intimacy. Their walk with God is dull and eventually, really, they lose out. In fact, the text says, fall short of the grace of God. I'm not going to get into Arminianism and Calvinism and all that and where we stand, but I'll just say it generally. I do believe that you can drift away from your walk with God. You can read through the book of Hebrews. You can drift away and lose out. You can abort God's plan for your life. I mean, that's a terrifying thing. Get away from me. I never knew you. What? I went to church. Doesn't matter where you went, bitterling. It doesn't matter. Bitterness and anger. You'll not only be a fugitive and a vagabond, but bitterness and anger is connected to murder. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 21. Let's read it. For you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Raca, that word means, it's calling someone a moral fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember your brother as something against you, leave your gift at the altar. I mean, this is how important it is. You're supposed to forgive them. You're supposed to let them go. Bitterness, you know what bitterness does? It enslaves your heart. Bitterness causes you to get dull with God. You're no longer weeping in his presence. Worship team, please. You're no longer weeping in his presence. You're no longer hearing that still small voice. Things are sort of dull. And you've been jailed. God is speaking to us this morning and speaking to our nation, how to live free from bitterness and a spirit of murder. Well, I think the first thing is repent. Everybody say, repent. Repent. So if you're feeling that way, realize that's not God. And so many still talk themselves into, well, it's a righteous indignation. Is it? Is it really? A lot of people think they have a righteous indignation, and I love what one theologian said. Righteous indignation is reserved for God alone, because once a man gets a hold of righteous indignation, he messes it up. I do believe in a righteous indignation, but then our sin has a way of getting a hold of it. Repent of being bitter and angry. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what your problem is. Come on and say to you, say, Lord, show me what my problem is, if I have any. If you've lost your joy, ask, what's going on with me? If you're angry, if your face is downcast. Operate in the opposite spirit. Here in Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. Oh my. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There's a recipe right there. You bless them. You do what? You bless them. You do good to them. You bless them. I've shared the story, and the wheels are down and we're on approach, coming in for a landing. Witnessing in Kahului years ago with a team of people from King's Cathedral and Chapels, coming to a house, and we went two by two, but for whatever reason, I was all by myself that day. And I remember knocking on the door. The door swung open. The guys just cursed me. What are you doing on my food? Get off of my property. I mean, seething, spitting, angry. I'm like, yo, hey, I just want to tell you about Jesus. Well, he just went leveled up from there. What the? Get off of my... I said, I just want to tell you God. And he just goes, spits in my eye. A big man spit. I mean, like, whack. I nearly lost my sanctification, and I cursed him using blessing from the scripture. So really what I wanted to say is other things, but I said, hey, you know what? God bless you, bro, huh? And I walked off, God bless you. God bless your family, bless you, right? And I walk off, and I'm walking to the end of the driveway, and I'm weeping because I'm rejected and somebody spit on me, and I'm wondering about hepatitis C, and I'm, oh God, I gotta just tell him about Jesus. I just wanted to tell him about you, God. And I'm like, what is my problem? This punk gets mad at me and I'm crying. And I realize I have a spirit of rejection on me, and I realize that it hit a place of woundedness in me that was so deep. And I'm walking down the street and I'm thinking, oh God. Now, right at that time, Dr. Morocco had us memorizing Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And so Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it talks about doing good. I mean, I just read Matthew 5 to you. Matthew, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. The Lord, you want me to bless them? Yeah, I did, but you didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I was really cursing him using nice words. Hey, God bless you, huh? And the Lord's like, you need to rejoice right now. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So as I'm walking, I thought, yay, praise God. And then I realized I was mocking. I was mocking the scripture because it wasn't real. It was just like, yay. And so I gave him like 20%, maybe 25. I said, oh, Lord, thank you that I got to suffer persecution. And when I said it with just 25%, not even all my heart, just 25, I felt this. I felt like, whoa, I felt like the presence of God. And so I thought, Lord, I got persecuted for your name's sake. And I felt the power of God come all over me. Then he touched me, and I prayed for that idiot. And I forgave him. I pray he didn't go to hell. I prayed against hepatitis C and I blessed him, but for real, from the heart. I felt an anointing come down upon me. Listen, you've got to operate in the opposite spirit. When people are doing something, you got to do the other thing. You got to bless them and don't look for credit either. You got to respond differently. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Just be like Jesus, who did not open his mouth, like a lamb who was silent before its shears. He suffered. There's a time to speak up and there's a time to shut up. And if you allow bitterness and anger to work in your heart, you'll end up having a spirit of murder. And I see it all over our nation. I see it in our community. I see it through that anti-Semitism. Bitterness and anger releases a wickedness like murder. Last scripture, 1 John, turn there with me. First John, thank you. Verse 11 through 15, and we'll close with this. But this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of the wicked one, but murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Verse 14. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Who he does not love, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Oh my goodness. Wow, let's read that again. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know, because he laid, talking of the Lord, he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. This is what America needs. This will bring awakening. There's a number of people here that you're angry, you're hurting, and I want to pray for you. I would never want to embarrass anybody. I want to protect your dignity. So if it's for you, just receive it. Father, before you, we stand as your people. So grateful for the word found in Jude, verse 11, and correlating Genesis 4, Hebrews 12, verse 15. We're diligently looking that we would detect a root of bitterness. And Lord, I believe you have exposed a root of bitterness and anger. And I pray now for each and every person that's struggling with bitterness, all those online, and anger, resentment, that they would be healed. They would forgive those who perpetrated them, including themselves. They would not hold anger and bitterness towards you. They would trust you. On that great day, when we all stand before you, it'll all be laid bare. On that great and awesome day, when time is no more, you will set every record straight. And we purpose to live for another age. We cancel Cain's way in our life. And we will not move to a spirit of murder and hatred. We will be a people that love deeply from the heart. And in so doing, receive a rich reward and inheritance on that great and awesome day. So heal and set free those who are bitter and angry. Bitter and angry towards their father, bitter and angry towards their mother. Set people free from bitterness and anger from their previous church or pastor or the government or their employer or their wife or ex-wife or husband or ex-husband. Lord, thank you that we've not received what we deserve, We will not allow our hearts to be toxic, because it's by grace that all of us are forgiven, saved, and born again. So heal people, heal America. Cancel Cain. Cancel the way of Cain. Come on, say that. Cancel the way of Cain. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your best hand clap together for God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to be sure that you're right with God. Perhaps you've never given your heart to Him. Won't you do it today? Would you recommit your life to Him? If you did give your life to Jesus at the previous time, but you know you're not as on fire as you used to be, and you need to come back and recommit, then do it this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in prayer. If that's you, you pray out of sincerity of heart. You give your life back to God. You move into obedience with Him out of a love walk and relationship. Or perhaps you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. You've never done it and you want to do that. You're like, I'm going to give my life to Christ. You're not born again. You must be born again. You say, aren't we all God's children? No, we're not all God's children. Please hear me. Sorry to spoiler alert here. No, we're not all God's children. We're all made in God's image. You become His child only one way. You can't. Cain tried to find another way. There is no other way. You must be born again. You become His child when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, then you're not His child. Oh, you're He loves you. You're made in His image. You're also separated from God because of sin. And God can have no fellowship, no partnership with sin. How do you get rid of your sin? You receive Jesus, who paid the price for you, paid the price for me. The tunics of skin for Adam and Eve is a picture of the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world for those who believe on Him. Give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Make a recommitment all across this place, every head bowed, all those online, all across the nations, those listening by podcast, on Spotify, perhaps even in the future. Where are you with God? Give your heart to Him. First time, recommit to Him. If that's you, lift your hand right now. You want to be included in this prayer. Go ahead, do it now. Lift your hand. You want to be included in this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. See that hand. God sees that hand. God bless you. Lift your hand high. God bless you. Going to recommit. Going to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Would you stand with me all across this place? Stand and pray this prayer right out loud. And there'll be hundreds of others praying with you in just a declaration of their faith. So pray with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe He rose again from the grave. And I ask you to wash me, to cleanse me, to make me new. Take out the heart of stone and put in a new heart, and that I would live for you and fulfill all of my purpose. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. I reject secret and shameful ways, and I choose you, and I choose your way, not my own way, your way. And I thank you for the blessing of heaven that comes upon my life now as I do it. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands as a universal sign of surrender. God, with hands raised all across this place, let your power come. Let your Spirit come. Set every captive free. Break every chain, every bondage. Let your power come right now. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Liberty, glorious liberty and freedom. The old way is canceled. Freedom to every single person here to live, Lord. The blessing of God would come upon us in Christ. Thank you for what you've done. We give you praise and glory and honor. Put your best hand clap together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.